I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Please be seated. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Let us sing.
Thank you.
very warm welcome this morning to Scots Church, to those who are here, to those viewing online. If you are new here, there are some cards that you can fill out in the pew. You can scan, you can write, whatever you like. We'd be delighted to connect with you, to meet you, and just hear about your needs and hopes stepping into this church. Please, everyone, join us afterwards in the Westpac building on the mezzanine level for a hot drink and some good conversation. On Tuesday, our midweek groups continue. You can come at 6 o'clock and pray, 6:30 and eat. You can come at 7 for Bible study. You are very, very welcome to join that at any time. Next Sunday, the 19th of May, in the Westpac function room, there's going to be a bit of a presentation after the service about some of our mission partners. So we support several missionaries here at Scots Church, and it's really great to hear about how they've been, what they're doing, what the Lord is doing where they are as well. So please feel free to join. There will be lunch served there. Our senior minister, Phil Campbell, is at St. Stephen's Flemington, our branch church this morning. Lastly, the Bible speaks of biological and spiritual mothers. A very happy Mother's Day. Let's sing our next hymn by Cool Siloam's Shady Rill. Let us pray. O Lord, our rock and fortress. You are an ever-present help in times of trouble, a steady foundation, a house built on the rock, the cornerstone of the church. The righteous run to you and are kept safe. The destitute call out and you answer. But Lord, your answers can be slow. They can be unexpected, even unwanted. We call to mind our honest frustrations with the Lord, whatever grief we may have with God. Things unwanted, things not understood, things painful. Father, we know that you give and you take away, and we confess any lack of trust in you. In your Son, there is hope, Christ, the cornerstone. Help us to trust in him, to find our ever-present help in pain and trouble. Lord, we put our faith in your promise that all things work for good for those who love you. Give us peace this day, we pray. Amen. As the Lord taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Sorry, somehow got a hold of my choral favorites playlist this week. I'm not sure how that happened. Thank you very much. During our next hymn, we're going to take up an offering. These are to support people like our mission partners and other things for the good of this church and this city. Children and teens are very welcome to go to Kids Church. Grace and Bawanica are there in the back, so you're very welcome to go at this time. Otherwise, let's sing Blessing and Honor.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy, righteous, and just God, thank you for this glorious Sunday and your presence among us. Thank you for your steadfast love that never ceases and your mercies that never come to an end. They are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness, O God. Loving God, we lift our prayers to you and trust that you hear us and will answer us according to your perfect will. We pray that through faith in your Son, we may find the strength, hope, and trust needed to face life's challenges. And thank you, Lord, for being our living hope. Loving God, on this Mother's Day, thank you for the precious gift of your one and only Son, Jesus, born of a woman named Mary. Just as Jesus showed his love for his followers, we give thanks for the love and care that our mothers provide with us. Like Jesus, who laid down his life for his sheep, we are grateful for the selfless love that our mothers have for their children. Loving God, thank you for hearing the laments and prayers of every mother and woman in this church, in our community, in our city, country, and the world. And today we remember all mothers, past, present, and future, and motherly figures who have shared their faith with us. And we also remember and pray for those single fathers who have stepped up to fulfill the roles of mothers in the absence of a mother. Loving God, thank you for your grace and blessings upon every mother and caregiver who selflessly pours out love and care for their families. On this Mother's Day, we recognize that this day can bring up difficult feelings for some people. We acknowledge the range of emotions that people may be experiencing, including sadness, grief, and frustration. And our thoughts and prayers go to those who are struggling with fertility problems, whether it be the inability to conceive or loss of a child or children. We also recognize that this day may be difficult for those who have recently lost their mothers and those who have strained relationship with their families and anyone who finds this day difficult or traumatic. We ask that you would provide comfort and healing to those who most need it. We pray for all the mothers, fathers, women and men who are suffering at this time. We pray for those who are sick with life-threatening illness and for those who need healing. We pray for those who require food or shelter and for those who are living in violent homes or communities. We ask for comfort and strength for those who are grieving. We thank you for your healing touch on each suffering and in need, including those who are part of our church community. We remember Grace Banks, who is mourning the death of her beloved father, Stuart Banks. We pray that you would grant Grace and her close relatives and friends the strength, comfort, and peace they need during this difficult time. Loving God, we give thanks for Stuart's faithfulness and dedication in serving as a member, elder, and elder emeritus for the Scots Church for many years. May his contributions and good example be a blessing to your church and all who knew him. We pray for him to rest in eternal peace. And now we ask for your blessings on our tithes and offerings. May we use them wisely in your service and for your glory. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Psalm 13. You can follow along in your order of service. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen.
Oh.
This morning's second Bible reading is from Romans 8, verses 18 to 39. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your word. For your word is a balm for our souls. Help us to trust in you, the one who keeps us trusting in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Horatio Spafford was a Christian man, a successful lawyer in Chicago, who was well off with various investments. He was married to a woman named Anna. But he went through some trying circumstances. His only son was 4 when he died of scarlet fever. The next year, he lost all his investments in the Chicago fire. And a few years later, he decided to go to England with D.L. Moody. But he was held up due to some business development. His wife and 4 daughters went ahead of him. This was in the days when airplanes did not exist. So the trip was made by ship. The ship that had Spafford's 4 daughters and wife on board sank. It sank as a result of another ship T-boning it. The boat sank within 12 minutes, taking the lives of 226 of its passengers. None of Spafford's daughters made it out alive. Only his wife survived. What happens when you're faced with death? The death of loved ones, family and friends, or you're confronted by your own impending death due to sickness or disease. Today we're looking at Psalm 13, another psalm of David, where he is confronted by death, the real possibility of death through his enemies. But we're looking at it because it shows the 4 aspects of lament, the 4 aspects of lament that we've been looking at in the last 4 weeks. Because today, we're finishing off our sermon series, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercies. So let's look at Psalm 13. The first thing we learn is the importance of turning to prayer. That might sound simple, but it's easy enough to remain silent, to get to the point where you're not wanting to talk to God. Too many disappointments, too many frustrations, and it can cause us to become cynical. The older we get, the less naive we become, and the more cynicism infects us. Maybe you've heard of that story, someone praying as they're driving in a shopping center car park. Lord, please give me a car spot. Immediately they see an empty spot, and then they say, never mind, God, I found one. I love that, because that's true. We're confronted by life. We ask ourselves, what good does prayer do? Why bother praying if God already knows? When will God answer my prayers? And we get disappointed by the lack of answers. But think about children and how they ask their parents. You think about when they are born, when they are babies. Who teaches babies to cry? Imagine new parents trying to teach their baby to cry. Now, little Jacob, you need to learn to cry. Let me teach you how to do that. Open your mouth really wide and then use your voice. Scream at the top of your lungs, said no parent. It's a little absurd when you think about it. It's not something that they're taught. It just is. They cry because they are helpless. They cry because they are in need. They cry because they are dependent. And to lament We need to learn to be children again, to learn that we are helpless, learn that we are in need, learn that we are dependent. Because in our suffering, that's exactly what we are. We learn that we are ultimately not in control. We learn that life is fragile, that we learn that we cannot do life on our own. That's what David learned in his youth when he was on the run from Saul, threatened with death, dependent on God. And in his old age, on the run from his son, Absalom, threatened again with death, dependent on God, all the same. So in lament, we learn to turn to God in prayer. But the second thing we learn about lament is the importance of bringing your complaints to God, learning to bring your hurts, your frustrations, your disappointments, your questions, your doubts, your honest thoughts to God. And that's what David does here. Have a look at the passage, verses 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? We may be afraid that God is offended, but God is not easily offended by our thoughts. Look at how brutal David is here. See how many times David questions God. Look at how many times he says, how long? Four times he brings his complaint to God. He doesn't complain to others about God. He complains to God. He expresses the rejection that he feels from God. You can see, this is raw. This is genuine. This is real. This is authentic. And the point is this: be honest with him. God encourages us to bring what's on our hearts to him. We may be afraid that God cannot handle what's on our minds, but he already knows. He already knows your thoughts. He knows your feelings. He knows your heart already, even before a word is on your lips. I love when you read about Jesus in the gospel accounts, particularly when he asks questions. It's not like he doesn't know the answer to the question. Like when after he is risen from the grave, he speaks to Peter, one of his disciples, and he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Of course I do." And Jesus asks again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And then again, Jesus a third time says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter at this point is hurt, and he responds in a way that many of us would. And he says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." I often wonder why Jesus asks Peter that question, especially when he knows the hearts of mankind. But I think the point is this: he knows what turmoil we go through. He knows the struggles, the self-doubt, the frustrations, and he wants us to come to him with all that. Because there is more grace than we can ever imagine when we do come to him. So in lament, bring your complaints to him. But the third thing we've learned about lament is asking boldly, bringing your requests to him, whatever they may look like. Have a look at verses 3 and 4. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Notice the requests that David brings. They're our example. There's three verbs here. First, consider. In other words, look upon me, God. You turned your face away from me. But look at my situation. See and understand what is going on. Second, answer me. In other words, don't just be silent. Answer my prayers. Please come to my help. I'm bringing my requests to you. But don't just sit there. Do something. And third, light up my eyes. In other words, restore my soul. My soul is grieved. I am close to death. But restore to me my health. Remove my grief. In other words, David is boldly calling on the Lord. Change my circumstances. Do something about the situation that I'm in. I am helpless. And notice what David is doing. He's calling on God's character. Notice what it says in verse 4. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. David's saying, if you don't come to my rescue, God, then my enemies, our enemies, are going to gloat. It's how children sometimes speak to their parents, don't they? They throw promises back at their parents. But you said that we could go to Disneyland. But you said that I could have ice cream. But you said I could have vegetables. Said no kids. But you said, and you can fill in the blank. Kids are great at that, aren't they? They throw the promises back at their parents. And in the same way, when you read the Psalms, you see that over and over again, where the psalmist throws back the promises of God back at him, reminding God of his character. But you said, God, you were going to come to my rescue. But you said, your mercies are new every morning. But you said, never will I leave you nor forsake you. So in lament, ask boldly. But here's the final point. We need to learn to choose to trust. That's the fourth aspect of lament. And that's what David does at the end of his psalm. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Notice the but there, the yet. I am struggling, yet I will trust. I am suffering, yet I will rejoice. I am close to death, yet I will sing your praises. A turn, a change in the air, not a change in circumstances, but a change in heart. Have a look, because David presses deep. Trust is personal. I have trusted my heart. I will sing bountifully with me,
from pain to trust. Moving from pain, we move to trust, choosing to trust, as we've seen Mark Vergroep define lament. Lament is a prayer in pain that moves to trust. Now, some commentators think that the change in David is too sudden. How can you go from pain to trust so suddenly? And commentators will say that it must be written by another person. But trust is a choice. It's a choice that you and I make. We make it each and every day. And trust will look different at different moments. Trust might mean waiting in your suffering. Trust might mean being bold in your circumstances. And trust also means singing praises. But trust is a choice that you and I have to make. What's the key to learning to trust? What's the key? For a child, it's learning that their parents are trustworthy. When they see that their parents want the best for them, that's when they learn to trust, isn't it? But we know that not all parents are trustworthy. Some have done horrific things to their children. They have failed. And we know that even the very best earthly parents will fail us from time to time. But the key is seeing that your Father in heaven is worthy of your trust. To see that in your darkest moment, your Heavenly Father came to save you from death. God showed his steadfast love, his salvation. He showed he has dealt bountifully with you and me when Jesus took on death, so that death would not have its sting. It's what Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans. If God the Father did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, in order that you might be saved from death, how then will he not graciously give us all things? And furthermore, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Even in our sufferings, even in our tribulations, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our sword, our danger, none of that will separate us. Because Christ has conquered death. Nothing in all creation, neither height nor depth, angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else, will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our sufferings, we can begin to doubt God. Does he care? Does he love me? Is he listening? But we must look at every circumstance that we are in with the cross of Jesus in the background, where we learn to see the ultimate sign of God's love and be reminded that what was used as evil against Christ was ultimately for our good and his glory. And so, when we find ourselves facing evil, we can have a peace that transcends all understanding, that comes from the assurance of knowing Christ's love for you and me. Horatio Spafford, whom I told you about earlier, whose four daughters drowned on their trip to England. I recently read a story by Elizabeth Elliot, where she interviewed Horatio's fifth daughter, Bertha Spafford. Bertha had not been born until after the disaster. And Bertha recounts the story that her mother, Horatio's wife, told her. Horatio's wife recounts those fateful last moments as the ship was sinking. Frantically, she had tried to save them. Barely, she had been able to touch with her fingertips the hem of the little gown of one. But she could not grasp it. She herself had been miraculously rescued as she floated unconscious on a piece of flotsam. During Mr. Spafford's voyage to join his wife in France, the captain summoned him one day to the bridge. Pointing to his charts, he explained that it was just here, where they were at that moment, that the other ship had gone down. Spafford wrote the hymn which has comforted countless thousands. And you may know the hymn. He wrote the words from the hymn, "When Peace Like a River." Let's end this series with these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well, with my soul. Let's pray. Father, when we look at this world, our hearts mourn. We are confronted by the imperfect nature of our world, the imperfect nature of our relationships. We go through sufferings, trials, tribulations, challenges. Teach us to lament, to cry out to you. Teach us to be honest and authentic and genuine with you. Because you know, even before a word is on our lips. But we bring our requests to you boldly, knowing that you are our Father in heaven, who hears our prayers, who loves us with an everlasting love. And despite the evil in this world, you change evil for our good and your glory. And we ultimately see that at the cross, where we see your Son Jesus, when it was meant for evil, you used it to save us. So please help us to trust in you, because you are trustworthy. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to respond with the Apostles' Creed. So I would invite you to stand. As we say these words together, please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let's respond by singing "The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns."
Thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you to the choir. It's always very good. Please join us for refreshments in the Westpac building on the mezzanine floor. And as a final reminder, we have our missions lunch next week after the service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.